Today, January 20th, is the perfect day to honor the man who is perhaps the most generous-spirited, morally upstanding, humble, and courageous American president of my lifetime. Jimmy Carter was also one of only four presidents ever who were birders. The two Roosevelts were both members of the American Ornithologists Union, and before them, Thomas Jefferson was singularly interested and well-educated about birds. Not even I would say being a birder should be a prerequisite for public office, but birding opens us to places and experiences that enrich our perspective and give us a deeper understanding and appreciation of the natural world that we all depend on for our very survival. While in office, President Carter doubled the size of the national park system and tripled the amount of federally protected wilderness. He signed the Superfund law, which created a way for the government to fund hazardous waste cleanups. Jimmy Carter was the first president to talk about climate change, yes, almost half a century ago. Soon after taking office, he ordered a major study of probable changes in the world's population, natural resources, and environment. The final report from the White House Council on Environmental Quality warned that fossil fuel combustion could cause widespread and pervasive changes in global climatic, economic, social, and agricultural patterns. Conserving energy is a no-brainer, whether you're concerned about air and water pollution, dependence on the Middle East or international corporations, wildlife, human health, or climate change. And throughout his term, Carter kept a laser focus on energy issues. He maintained the 55-mile-per-hour speed limit imposed by the Nixon administration, which Ford had continued, saving human and wildlife lives and fossil fuels as well. And in 1978, Carter set fuel economy regulations called CAFE standards for passenger vehicles. The auto companies, of course, whined and complained and eventually managed to get around them during the Reagan administration by defining minivans and then SUVs as light trucks rather than passenger vehicles and putting vast amounts of their marketing and manufacturing into these bigger, less efficient vehicles. Jimmy Carter said bringing down the cost of solar panels could be a small part of one of the greatest and most exciting adventures ever undertaken by the American people, and noted, "Nobody can embargo sunlight. No cartel controls the sun. Its energy will not run out. It will not pollute the air. It will not poison our waters. It's free from stench and smog." He, of course, had solar panels installed on the White House. Carter's environmental policies were opposed by General Electric, General Motors, Exxon, and other corporations, their investors, and the politicians bought and paid for by them. That wouldn't have mattered had not regular Americans lost interest in environmental issues. Carter's presidency began and ended in the same decade that the Clean Air, Clean Water, and Endangered Species Acts had all passed by huge bipartisan majorities. But apparently Americans decided it was time to stop worrying about clean air and water for good. His presidency never enjoyed even a momentary honeymoon with Washington insiders or the American press. Responsible adults know that a lot of our income must be invested in the future. We not only buy insurance against losses, we also do everything we can to prevent those losses in the first place. As soon as we took possession of our house, Russ and his dad, a retired electrician, completely upgraded our house's electrical wiring. We upgraded our oil furnace to the most efficient gas furnace as soon as we could, and when Russ realized the pipes into our house were lead, he immediately called the city and asked them to change the water line. It was well beyond our budget, and we had to pay the entire cost, but keeping our baby and toddlers safe was far more important than discretionary spending. Grown-ups know there are times when we must tighten our belts. A few years ago, we put a chunk of our savings and retirement funds into a heat pump and solar panels. But even with rebates, we're unlikely to ever make back in savings what we paid to buy and install them. And thanks to these major expenses, I'm unlikely to ever afford a trip to Asia, Australia, or Antarctica. Sometimes I'm sad about this, but prioritizing what is truly important over what is personally enriching is what adults do. Jimmy Carter is often lauded as the greatest ex-president we've ever had for his Nobel Peace Prize-winning work in the Middle East, his protection of honest democratic elections worldwide, and decades of personal labor for Habitat for Humanity. Yet his presidency itself is usually called a failure, despite all the wild places, natural resources, and energy he saved, the huge environmental messes his Superfund program cleaned up, and the many more things he'd have accomplished with more support from Congress and the American public. Carter didn't fail us. We failed him. Those of us who say we want a president who tells it like it is and never lies should revere our 39th president like no other. But truth is not what Americans want to hear. They cast Carter aside for a myth maker whose first job was as a play-by-play radio sports announcer working in a studio while giving his listeners the impression that he was actually at the games he covered. As an actor, Reagan's profession required him to pretend to be all kinds of things he wasn't. As spokesman for General Electric, he learned to mouth corporate platitudes with a twinkle in his eye. He gave the appearance of being a gentle and wise, father-knows-best kind of adult, even as he eviscerated as many environmental protections as he could and literally trashed Carter's solar panels on the White House. Our choice in 1980 was a daddy figure with crinkly eyes who could weave convincing tales about Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. Reagan simplified the concept of government spending as a family budget issue. Of course, families like governments need to economize, but Reagan's enormous tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy were exactly like parents struggling to balance their family budget while happily asking the corporation they work for to cut their paycheck. Carter's failure was believing the American public truly wanted honesty and made decisions the way he did, based on deep-rooted and genuine Christian values and the best interests of his children's children, and all of us. In 1980, Americans didn't want an adult making wise adult decisions in the White House. We wanted Hollywood glitz. Oh, what a falling off was there. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.